This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back. It's Tuesday, which means we will be performing the Blueprint Power Hour with Rob Regish during the first hour, actually a little bit longer than an hour. And then we will jump and change discussions to how TV advertising of statin drugs drives unnecessary prescription. There's actually a study out there done by Dr. Jeff Niederdeep that we're going to talk about. And it's an important discussion because we know that the pharmaceutical agenda is in full effect. And it's not good for people. Just a reminder, you can no longer get the buy one, get one free at the of the Age Force Power Patch, the only transdermal patch with real growth hormone in it, real somatotropin, 25 milligrams per patch, in fact. The only place you can get it, the buy one, get one free, is at superhumanradio.com. They had a promotion going at a couple other places, too, Anabolic Minds and such, and that has ended. But you can continue to get it for at least the next 4 days by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Age Force banner ad. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Okay, as we start off with the Blueprint Power Hour, welcome back, Rob Regish. How you doing?
Doing terrific, man. How about you? How are those toes healing up?
The toes are great. I got to tell you something. They did not slow me down a bit. I went to the Arnold, as you know. I walked around the whole weekend. I trained legs the other day. They really haven't slowed me down. The only thing that needed some special consideration was I had to keep putting a gel form of betadine on them called Providine, just to keep them from getting infected. But once they started to scab, I even stopped that. I'm not doing anything to them. And you're not going to believe this. None of the nails have fallen off.
Oh, that's good.
Well, I don't know if it's good. I'm wondering if they're yet to fall off because they're stuck to the toes but through the formation of scabbing, and they will fall off. They look like hell. I mean, they look like the nails want to fall off, but they haven't fallen off yet. So that one's baffled me.
What a way to start off the Power Hour.
Yeah, right? There you go. True training. Well, but you know what? I got to tell you, my training is spot on.
Good.
I have been using a listener of the show who has a compounding pharmacy, sent me, you know, very, very few shows have the caliber of listeners that this show has. I got to mention that, by the way. We have more doctors, scientists, clinicians, pharmacists, and so on that listen to this show. Even people who teach pharmacy schools. And so a pharmacist, a compounding pharmacist who listened to the show, and I talked along with my doctor, and he compounded me a transdermal thyroid hormone.
Wow.
And I've been rubbing it on my neck where my thyroid is as an experiment, if you will. And it's stopping me from snoring. So figure that one out.
Wow.
And since I've been doing this and since my snoring has gotten under control, my strength is coming back. I squatted again yesterday. I trained legs, right? Yeah, I trained legs yesterday, and I squatted yesterday, and I can feel the strength coming back. My heart rate and regularity of heartbeat is correcting itself, no longer having all these pauses and skip beats and all that sort of stuff. So I'm on the mend, and I'm coming back, and I predict by the mid-year, towards the end of this year, I will be back in full force again and as strong as I ever was. And I guarantee you, had I gone to a physician – and he would have checked my heart. He would have said, wow, you know, you've got an arrhythmia. You've had it in the past. There's nothing you can do about it. It's genetic. You got to get on these drugs. Don't lift. And I would have been dead in a year or two. And I'm on the mend and getting stronger. And I guarantee you that any doctor would have put me on a bunch of meds and told me that this is not, there's nothing I can do about this.
Yeah, that's how it goes. You know what the agenda is. But, well, I'm glad to hear you're doing better. You're on the mend. And, you know, sometimes it takes that time away to light the fire again. And it sounds like you got it back.
Well, but you know what? I got to tell you something. When you're not feeling well, you know, when you have something that's going wrong and you know it's going wrong, and it's a big thing. You know, when your heart starts bothering you, it's a big deal. It's in the forefront of your mind all the time because you're worried and it takes over the day. And I would wake up in the morning and I would actually be afraid to train. And I can tell you that those feelings are completely gone. I walk into the gym, I wake up in the morning, and I want to get into the gym and train as hard as I can and push my body. And that change in mental attitude alone, because I don't have this constant explosive feeling in my chest where my heart is missing beats and running like an 8-cylinder engine with 4 fouled spark plugs, it makes you feel like, okay, you know what? I'm getting better. And all of a sudden your mental attitude changes. And you can get in the gym and train hard, but you can't train hard when you have certain problems that are on the forefront of your mind that keep you fixated like, oh man, something's wrong with me. What do I do? And it's really hard to get past that and recognize that if I just train and if I get certain things in line, I can fix this because the consciousness, the collective consciousness out there, because of pharmaceutical commercials, which we're going to talk about later in the show, and because of friends who have this and that, is, you know what? If I get sick, I'm not going to be able to get better. And there is nothing further from the truth. I don't care what you are fighting against right now. I guarantee you, if you knew what I was fighting against, you would have said, Carl, are you crazy going into the gym and deadlifting and squatting and lifting the way you are? No, I wasn't crazy. I knew that my body would conform to the challenge. My body was resilient, and it would change if the demands for it changed. I knew it.
Yeah. Well, it's like my chiropractor says, you know, let the body heal thyself.
Yeah.
Your body wants to heal itself. You know, sometimes it just, you need to give it some nurturing and a little bit of a nudge, but hey, listen, you know, pharmaceuticals, as far as I'm concerned, should be last resort. There are so many other options today. It's just, you know, why get sucked into the money-making big pharma machine?
Well, and don't get me wrong, Rob. If I thought I was in real trouble, I would have used pharmaceutical interventions as a rescue method. I'm not an idiot. I wouldn't turn back and say, oh, you know, I'm going to fix this anyway. I'm not but I knew that I was within reach of changing it myself before anything got any worse. I knew that.
Yeah. They're the best in the world at critical care emergency medicine. You know, if you're in a car accident and your arm's hanging by a thread, you don't want to try to fix that yourself. But on the flip side, they're the worst in the world when it comes to preventative medicine. We don't have a healthcare system. We have a sick care system.
That's right.
Big difference.
All right, let's talk about questions. We're finally getting questions from new listeners. Those of you who listen to the roundtable, the Blueprint Power Hour and the roundtable discussion, you need to submit your questions. No question is incorrect or too easy or too stupid or anything. Send your questions to onair@superhumanradio.com, and we will forward them on to the respective coach. Like Rob Regish and Wade Johnson, have them answer it on the air. Contribute to the community of continued knowledge. So the first one starts off with a question from Mitch, and is it Palsis?
Palsis, yeah.
Okay. He says, "Hey Carl, I started listening to you last summer. One of the reasons I have kept listening is your honesty, like admitting the things you have done in the past. Let it be good, bad, or indifferent. Bottom line is you are not fake." Wow, that's nice. "Keep on doing what you are doing, and I will keep on listening. Thank you." That nice statement after what I just confessed on the air.
Right.
"I will be 44 at the end of March. I'm 6'1", 163 pounds, work full-time, going back to school for my bachelor's degree, married with 2 kids. Bravo. I applaud your efforts. Typical workout in the summertime, I run and cycle, running about 8 to 10 miles a week, cycling 25 to 30 miles on Sunday. I have attempted to add strength last year and the year before and did P90X. I felt a little stronger, and both my wife and I agreed I didn't add much muscle. This year, I tried something a little different. I bought the blueprint. I started in October and ran through two times back-to-back. My one rep max for bench press went up 30 pounds, and my squat went up 140 pounds. I also tried doing pull-ups last week, something I haven't tried for 10 months. I would normally squeak out at best two or three. I easily did seven now. Goal number one is success. I would say I am stronger. The side effect, my wife said without me prompting at all that I look more muscular. I need to give a big thanks to Rob Regish. His smarts helped me make some serious progress. I do really have a question. That was nice, but for him to say. What exercises and frequency would you suggest when I switch over to the cardio-heavy summer schedule? I do not want to lose the strength and muscle that I have added. I would love to add more strength and muscle. Any supplements that you would suggest? Again, thank you guys for all that you do, Mitch.
Yeah, the key here, Mitch, is picking efficient movements that work a large degree of muscle mass to build size and strength in the face of all that cardio. And here, I'm talking about centering your routine around a limited number of big compound lifts. And I would suggest, given all that running, a twice-a-week push-pull workout frequency. So day one would be push day, and that would consist of the decline bench press, barbell jammer press, which we've discussed before. I favor them done unilaterally, one arm at a time, and weighted dips. And day two to three days later, you would perform box squats, pull-ups, and Romanian or trap bar deadlifts. So what I've done here is construct an abbreviated training template that allows for plenty of recovery time between workouts. In fact, most trainees would be shocked as to how much progress that can be made on a schedule like this. Because although it's only twice a week, you know, there's no fluff here. It's just brutally hard work on the most demanding of movements that recruit the maximum amount of muscle tissue. The key is in the loading. So something like this, a twice-a-week schedule, lends itself well to Jim Wendler's 5-3-1 program or Bill Starr's classic 5-by-5 protocol. It's the thinking man's approach to gaining over a longer stretch of time. But rest assured, those gains will materialize. You simply can't go wrong with a consolidated workout of big compound movements, a lot of elbow grease, and plenty of recovery time. Synthogen would certainly be helpful, especially given the fact that your cellular energy is going to be depleted by both the high volume running plus the weight training. Far more important, though, would be your diet. The kind of mileage you're racking up given the running and cycling plus the weight training burns a lot of calories. And also, this is a little discussed, but protein needs for runners actually exceed those of weight trainers. Adequate amounts of both then, protein and calories, are going to be needed. Now, I do favor LiveStrong's website for calculating both total calories and macros. They've got a nice online calculator there, and it's a handy tool that takes into consideration not only your height and weight, but also your activity level and other metrics. So I took the liberty of running your numbers, Mitch, and I arrived at the following. You're going to need in the neighborhood of about 3,450 calories a day. And further, the macronutrient split would be something along the lines of about 345 grams of carbs, 259 grams of protein, and 115 grams of healthy fats. And in terms of supplements, on the days when you're running and cycling, I'd recommend 10 caps of Synthogen prior and 5 afterwards. On the weight training days, it's 5 caps immediately prior to the workout, 5 halfway through, and then 5 immediately post. Here's the final word. It's difficult, but not impossible, to make strength and size gains in the face of lots of cardio. It's simply the fact that a delicate balance must be struck and care taken to consume ample amounts of calories and carbs, especially to spare the dietary protein. Avoid overtraining and get enough quality sleep. It can be done. So I hope those suggestions help, Mitch.
Now, I have a, in the words of Adele Moussa, on the other hand statement,
okay.
If I might throw it in here.
Sure.
Another option would be to cut your cardio back by 30 to 50% and throw in farmer's walks, which will continue to increase your cardiovascular endurance dramatically, as we see from the guys at CrossFit who do CrossFit to increase their running time and their bicycle endurance times as well. Because it's clear that heavy resistance training combined with cardio, things like farmer's walks, increase your ability to run faster and bike faster. We know this. So I would say to you, cut your cardio that you're doing now, the biking and the running, back by 30 to 50% and start doing heavy farmer's walks a few times a week. Do heavy farmer's walks for 15 to 20 minutes with a 50-pound dumbbell in each hand. Walk around your neighborhood. It's starting to get nice out in some places. Try doing that.
That's good advice, at least a portion of it. Those kind of things, farmer's walks, sled dragging, sled pushing, they're all excellent cardiovascular exercises that will actually build muscle, not strip it away like long distance running. So
yes. I mean, think of sprinters. When you think of doing farmer's walks, think of the kind of bodies that sprinters have, because they're putting themselves under the kind of load that bridges the aerobic and anaerobic thresholds. And that's what things like farmer's walks do. You are bridging the aerobic and anaerobic thresholds, so you will add muscle and increase endurance doing things like farmer's walks instead of just purely bicycling and running. Let's do this. Unless you have something to add to that, we're going to take a break.
No, that was great advice. I'm glad you jumped in.
Yeah, and it's just another option. You know, you could do what Rob is saying, which is clearly important, and the calories play a very, very large role in recovery and muscle gains in the face of doing more cardio. And I would say adhere to what Rob says calorically, even if you're doing 50% less cardio and adding in those farmer's walks, because those farmer's walks will tear you up.
You'll be huffing and puffing.
Yeah. Okay, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Blueprint Power Hour brought to you by the Blueprint Bulletin. You can get the wisdom of Rob Regish directly into your inbox. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad for your first month's free subscription. Check it out. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
New from Rob Regish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to the Blueprint BlueprintBulletin.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Everyone wants growth hormone because growth hormone works. Now AgeForce is offering a buy one, get one free on their most popular transdermal patch. The power patch contains 25 milligrams of real somatropin per patch. It delivers real, competent human growth hormone right to your bloodstream without the discomfort of injections. There's never been a better time to see what the power patch can do for you. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today. This offer ends soon. Get your growth hormone the AgeForce way. Power patch.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
How y'all feel out there?
How y'all feel out there? All right, welcome back to the Blueprint Power Hour with Rob Regish. The next question comes from Cody Komaromi, or Komaromi. I hope I did that right, Cody. He says, "Hey, Carl, I'm one of those quiet listeners, and I've been reaching out for some training advice. In 2006, I graduated from high school weighing a heavy 340 pounds. Before attending college, I decided to make a change for myself. After a great amount of blood, sweat, and tears, I'm currently at a proud 190 pounds. Wow, bravo, man. Excellent job.
Yeah.
On August 2nd, 2012, I had plastic surgery to remove excess skin from my stomach and chest. I've been on bed rest for at least 5.5 months, and I'm finally back to the gym. My question is this. After coming back from a surgery like this, what are some exercises for building a solid midsection, especially the lower abdominals? I've lost a great amount of strength, so doing a hanging leg raise and knee hip raises or parallel bars are more than a freaking struggle. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Please keep up the outstanding work that you guys do. Thanks again, Cody K." And, you know, I'd love to have Cody on the show to talk about this surgery, by the way. So if Cody...
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that interests me. I've got, from being plus 330 pounds, I have some loose skin on my lower abdomen that I keep threatening to have removed. So I'd love to have you on the show if you want to come on and talk about it. But anyway, okay. What do you say, Rob?
Well, first things first, Cody. Great job on dropping the weight. You know, proof positive that blood, sweat, and foul language works wonders. So, you know, props to you on that. Now, with respect to your question, for all its simplicity, the hanging leg raise, when performed with strict form, legs perfectly straight, 2 seconds up, 2 seconds down, and a brief pause at the top, it's incredibly difficult. Advanced trainees usually strive to perform 2 sets of 20 in that exercise, at which point your entire midsection will be radically strengthened. However, just because something looks simple doesn't mean it's easy, as anyone who's attempted that exercise can attest. My first recommendation would be to pick up a copy of Convict Conditioning by Paul Wade. You've heard me speak about it before. It can be had on Amazon for a shade over $20, at least the e-version. Like the other big six exercises in the book, the hanging leg raise, the master step, is broken down into 10 simpler steps, which would be ideal in your case, really for anyone. You know, the program, the brilliance in the book is that it's completely scalable. So step one, for example, would be knee tucks.
seated on the end of a bench. And the beginner level is just one set of 10. It's an excellent entry point and one that starts to subtly condition not just your abs, but your hip flexors for the, you know, for the more demanding steps to come. And while some people will look at that and, you know, at starting at that point, I've known more than a few that aren't laughing anymore when attempting to meet the progression standard for step one in that exercise, which is three sets of 40 reps. So, but that being said, let me offer this alternative. Planks are a forgotten midsection movement that develop a tremendous core. And they're unique insofar as they build an incredible amount of static strength, perfect for those who struggle with movements that require a dynamic part of an exercise. Those two are also scalable, meaning you can progress from easier to more difficult variations. So let's look at a practical example. Level one, body weight planks on your elbows. You just keep your feet together and legs straight, work up to a 3-minute hold. Once you're able to do that, you go to level two. These are body weight planks in a push-up position. Same as in level one, keep the feet together and work up to a 3-minute hold. Level three would be body weight planks in a push-up position again, but this time with your toes dug into a stability ball. And that's going to challenge your abs even more so given the unstable nature of the ball. Once you've worked up to a 3-minute and hold in that, we get into weighted planks. This would be the final level, level four. You're going to get into a push-up position with a weight on your back. And that's most easily accomplished by just taking a 25-pound plate and putting it in a backpack. You know, no need for these $300-$400 weight vests that I see out there. Hold that for 1 minute and then graduate up in 10-pound increments until such time as you can hold 100 pounds for 1 minute. And once you reach level four, you will have an incredible amount of strength, not only in your abs, but your entire body. The very nature of the plank demands co-contraction of virtually all the muscle groups, and it's part of the reason it was a favorite of Golden Age strongmen. Its influence is particularly strong in Canada, where it goes by the name planche. And many a strong man still practices these, and with good reason. Planks build hellacious strength, power, etc., and do so with virtually zero risk of injury. So give those tips a shot, Cody. I'd love to hear back from you. I do think it's a great place to start. And again, you know, credit where credit is due. Man, three something. What did he say? Three?
I think he said 340, didn't he? Hold on a second.
Yeah, 340 to 190.
I think that's what he said. Yeah, 340. Man. Yeah. He was up in that. I was in that range. I know what it's like. It's terrible. You don't feel good. You know, want to lose that weight.
You can do that. You can do this. You could do anything. Yeah. Awesome job, Cody.
All right, so the next question comes from a faithful listener, Con Santori Davison. He says, guys, some people slash science says, essential amino acids, BCAAs, intra-workout drinks should be taken before, during a fasted AM workout to prevent muscle breakdown, cardio awaits. Others say it can lead to muscle breakdown because the amino acids promote an insulin response that can't be capitalized on because there is no food in the body. Who's right? Also, does the EAAs, BCAAs take your body out of a fat-burning mode if taken during this time period? And then he has question two, bro science, or brotelligence, as we like to call it, and some real science says all supplements should be cycled. I understand this makes sense for estrogen blockers, test boosters, creatine, and drugs, of course. But what about vitamins and minerals, vitamin C, D, magnesium, et cetera?
Yeah, two great questions. To answer question number one, I am a big proponent of essential amino acids and branched chain amino acids taken before and during a fasted AM workout and think they help immensely. I don't believe for a second they take your body out of any fat-burning mode. In fact, there's research to suggest the opposite is true. For example, studies have shown a diet rich in branched chain aminos burn more fat. Now, to take that a step further, There was a study done with wrestlers consuming high amounts of branched chain aminos during training, and they lost fat preferentially around the midsection. Other studies have shown they inhibit muscle wasting, improve performance, and aid in repair and recovery from demanding workouts. So I don't think there's any question they help, not hurt. One distinction, though, I make is this. Essential amino acids during weight training, BCAAs during cardio. And the reasoning goes like this. The objective of weight training is to stimulate muscle growth. And to do that, and to ultimately have muscle growth manifest, you need all nine essential amino acids in circulation to repair and rebuild that muscle tissue. Conversely, the goal of cardio is to strip body fat. Since branched chain aminos have been shown to do just that, especially in the midsection, and they're more economical than essential aminos, I use them during that time, during cardio. Again, there's no evidence I've seen that suggests either branched chain or essential amino acids take your body out of fat-burning mode. In fact, as I pointed out, there's evidence that branched chain aminos will accelerate fat loss. Finally, to answer your second question, I do think certain supplements like vitamins and minerals can be taken year-round, including things like vitamin C, D, E, R, alpha-lipoic acid, magnesium, and fish oil, amongst others. However, when it comes to performance enhancement type supplements, I think there's every reason, both physically and financially, to cycle their use, because like virtually any drug or supplement or whatever it is that you put into your body, there's a dose response curve that ultimately becomes less efficient with time. And that's particularly true for hormone-type products, but extends to others such as ecdysterone, NO2, even creatine. In the Blueprint Bulletin, I think it was last month, I broke down the science as to how creatine levels are actually reduced given the standard advice of loading 20 grams a day, you know, for a week and then maintaining on 5 grams a day. But more importantly, I specify how to cycle creatine to keep intracellular phosphocreatine levels in the superphysiological range. So the bottom line is take your EAAs intra-workout during weight training sessions. Take branched chain amino acids during cardio and cycle the use of any performance enhancing supplements. You will be bigger, stronger, leaner, and save some dough in the process. I hope that helps, Con.
And I'd like to throw in 2 cents here as well. We did the shows years ago before anyone was talking about intermittent fasting. We talked about so much good research out of Canada and out of Mexico that looked at fasted training, early morning fasted training, and all the research shows that there is no catabolic effect, contrary to what the bro-telligence, bro-science community says. In fact, when the body is fasted, it becomes more efficient at recycling amino acid pools. So it pulls it out of the muscle, puts it right back in again. So
yeah, I remember that.
Oh, Dr. Mike, I'm trying to think of his name. He was from Mexico, a university, a hospital in Mexico. We've had people from McMaster's University on the show. I think it was Stu Phillips came on the show once and talked about fasted resistance training. It's nonsense. You can train fasted. You will not break down the amount of muscle. Well, let's put it this way. You won't lose muscle. Now, naturally, you can't train fasted and then stay fasted for 24 hours and train fasted the next day, because at some point in time, your body will start to give up muscle. But if you're train fasted and then have a post-workout meal and you do the same thing the next morning and have a post-workout meal and eat normally throughout the day, you're not going to lose muscle. In fact, you're going to lose body fat while maintaining or gaining muscle. If anything, we see that. Well, yeah, because insulin sensitivity goes through the roof when you train fast.
Exactly. So, here's a great analogy. It's like in the summer when your lawn is parched and then it finally rains, downpours. What happens? It soaks up every last bit of it, and then you get a nice green lawn.
There you go. All right, next question comes from, let's see here. I'm sorry. Jerry Niedermeyer. Jerry says, thought you might be the guys to answer this. I'm a healthy 27-year-old, and I've been training for about 7 years. I'm looking for pre-training performance enhancer that will not irritate my heart or overstimulate me. Irritate my heart. Interesting selection of words. I've noticed a rather large decrease in performance, and mainly on my bench press, and since I stopped using caffeine pre-workout. I've been drinking green tea pre-workout, but it's not quite cutting it. What heart-friendly performance enhancers would you recommend? Thanks, Rob. Okay, now, it sounds to me like he's having some issues with overstimulation of his heart, and that's why he's cut out. He doesn't say that here, but this is, I'm surmising. The fact that he used the words irritate my heart, and then also the fact that he has cut out caffeine and he switched to green tea. So I'm wondering if he's having some issues with overstimulation from these types of methylxanthines in the first place. But go ahead, Rob. What do you think?
Well, I've got a good friend with that condition, with the same condition, if it's what I'm thinking of. But clearly, you know, caffeine was overdoing it, but he's missing it in terms of the performance enhancement. So I certainly have a short list, though, of various nootropics and other compounds that I can share. Now, the top of that list would be to still get your EGCG from green tea, 300 milligrams, combined with yerba mate, which we discussed last week, which contains, amongst other xanthines, two theophylline and three theobromine, which are stimulating, but not in the sense that caffeine is, and they lend themselves very well to improving insulin sensitivity and fat loss. I like that in combination with a little acetyl L-carnitine, although citicoline, dimethylaminoethanol, DMAE, and vinpoctine are likewise favorites and can contribute to increased performance without getting your heart all out of whack. There's one other nootropic that's worthy of your consideration, and its name is Noopept. N-O-O-P-E-P-T. This is yet another compound identified in the former Soviet literature, and it's a member of the racetum family. It shares similar mechanism of action. According to some studies, it's 1,000 times more potent than piracetam. In fact, animal studies have shown Noopept to be both neuroprotective and enhanced memory in various tests. And unusual for a peptide-like compound, Noopept displays both high oral bioavailability and an ease in crossing the blood-brain barrier. Like anything else, though, quality is paramount, because as Noopept's popularity has increased, it's starting to get out there now, there are some suspect versions that have flooded the market. Now, I can greenlight one brand, though. That being Smart Powders Noopept. They sell 110 milligram caps for a shade under $30, and it is top shelf material. You can be assured of that, given the fact that every lot is tested by Intertech, American Analytical Chemistry Laboratories. HPLC, high performance liquid chromatography testing, revealed 100% purity, and that certificate of analysis is posted on their website. So Noopept is second only in terms of performance-enhancing properties to another Russian gem I stumbled across recently. You can find out what that compound is for free if you go to the blueprintbulletin.com today and request this month's sample issue. But any and all of those, I think, would be excellent additions. They're not going to overstimulate their heart. And, you know, a good number of them, especially the nootropics, will work on the brain, which I think is an area that remains largely untapped by the supplement market.
Okay, we have to take a quick commercial break, pay some bills. That's how we pay bills here. No, you know how we pay bills? By those of you who listen to the show who patronize the sponsors, and I ask you to always patronize the sponsors whenever you can, because I sell nothing. In fact, if you look, the store has been taken down from superhumanradio.com because it's just too much of a pain in the neck for me to ship that stuff. And I just pissed too many people off.
No more ginger?
Nah, nothing. You know what? They can get it elsewhere. I have no time. I'm wearing so many hats, I feel like the hat check room at the Hilton. But I sell nothing. If you like the show, If you want to show that you like the show, patronize the sponsors whenever possible. Sponsors like Mass Pro Synthogen. There's a banner ad at superhumanradio.com to learn more about that. Or subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Again, go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad for your first month free subscription. We'll be right back with more of your questions and answers. This is Superhuman Radio.
You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. New from Rob Ragish, author of the Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today. Calling all men. The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today. Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Whey Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5 pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Whey Natural USA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only three ingredients: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Whey Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers. Wherever you call your battlefield after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete all-natural and organic recovery formula, AM Nutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors, no GMOs, less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition. AM Nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to MuscleAmNutrition.com. That's MuscleAmNutrition.com.
Recover!
M Nutrition.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Later in the show, very, very important topic. We're going to talk about the effects of television advertising of pharmaceutical drugs, most specifically how TV advertising of statin drugs drives unnecessary prescriptions. We'll have Dr. Jeff Niederdeep on the show. And it's going to be an interesting discussion. Right now we're talking with Rob Ragish. This is the Blueprint Power Hour. And the next question comes from Eddie Azaro. Hey, Rob, love Blueprint Power Hour and never miss an episode. Thank you for that, Eddie. I'm hearing a lot on radio these days about astaxanthin, and remember you talking about it a few months ago. They listed an absurd number of benefits, from increased strength to improved eyesight, decreased inflammation, and all of this with just four 4 to 8 milligrams a day. Can you tell me what to really expect if I give it a try?
Yeah, well, first, thank you for your comments, Eddie. It's a privilege doing this every week. Yeah, I know what Eddie's talking about because it was funny. On Sunday, I got into my car, to go for a drive, and it was paid advertising, you know, and like every Sunday talk show. And it was all about astaxanthin, and multi-level marketing companies are on to this now.
Oh, big time.
It was just, I know exactly what he's saying. I mean, they made it sound like if you took two capsules, you were going to wake up the next day, you know, a new man. But let me try to break it down for you. Astaxanthin does, in fact, have a long list of benefits, although, to be fair, most of them are skewed toward the general health versus performance enhancement side of things. Meaning, unlike creatine or some other ergogenics, you won't notice any drastic overnight improvements in the gym. Now, having said that, I do consider it a must-use product, given all that it does. And, in fact, I like to think of it as the fish oil of antioxidants, given its broad range of benefits and the fact that it benefits not only the body, but the brain as well. Meaning it readily crosses the blood-brain barrier and is both fat and water-soluble, unlike other antioxidants, which are primarily either-or, vitamin C being an example. One thing you will notice at about the 3-week mark is the reduced inflammation. In practice, you're going to feel less sore and beat up from your workouts if you're taking it consistently. For those struggling with the economics of using multiple antioxidants like C, high-end forms of E, and tocotrienols, etc., alpha-lipoic acid, I do think astaxanthin is an excellent choice. Especially with the summer coming up, it's particularly useful given its ability to protect the skin from the sun's rays. And what you'll notice is you can tolerate greater amounts of sunlight without burning or peeling, or you're going to get a deeper tan without as much sun exposure. Now, it's not quite the powerhouse kenthazanthin is that we discussed prior in that respect, but then again, it's not as pricey either. So here's the final word. Astaxanthin is an economical utility player in the general health arena, and it's in my tackle box. However, realistic expectations should be set insofar as what it'll do for you performance-wise. You know, a bit faster recovery and an increase in endurance should be noted, anti-inflammatory effects, etc. But it's subtle, and it occurs over time. Now, to lead you to believe otherwise would be disingenuous and would subvert an otherwise excellent product that's worthy of being in the rotation. So I hope that helps, Eddie. It really is one of those products that, unfortunately, they are out there waving the flag now, and the expectations that they're setting just frankly aren't realistic, and a lot of people are going to take it and say, oh, it didn't work for me. No, I mean, the stuff does work. You got to understand how it works out, what it does, and have realistic expectations. So,
and this is what the supplement industry does with everything. You know, you see raspberry ketones. You know, I get these because there's so many email addresses associated with the website, and I get emails to onair@superhumanradio.com all the time from people who have emailed us before, and then their email account gets hijacked, you know, on Yahoo, Google, or MSN or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I just get this email from them with nothing but a link. And every now and again, I click it with my iPhone because there's no operating system that can get violated from a virus. And it's always some scam supplement. And the latest scam is the raspberry ketone. You know, eat like a pig and lose weight anyway because Dr. Oz says so. I love that Batman and Robin cartoon, by the way. Dr. Oz doesn't even lift and has Batman slapping Robin in the face because he said something. Well, Dr. Oz said,
It's funny you say that because the very next infomercial after Estes
was the raspberry ketone. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And you know what? And a guy who is really high up in the import export business in the United States, he imports so many of the raw materials that end up in these when ashwagandha was popular, he was the guy bringing it into the United States. Everybody was putting it into their supplements. Acai berry or acai berry, whatever. He brings all this stuff in. He said to me, Carl, I wouldn't buy raspberry ketone supplements at all, he goes. And I said, why? And he said, because, first of all, it takes 2 kilos of raspberries to make 4 to 8 milligrams of raspberry ketones. He said, so just do the math. We would have to vanquish all the current raspberries and then whatever's coming just to make what one company claims to be able to supply. He says, but he has tested 6 different sources of raspberry ketones, and they're all synthetic, they're not natural, and they don't even meet the requirements for what are considered raspberry ketones. And so,
there you go.
So it's like, you know what? People don't even know what they're buying half the time, and they think it works. You know, oh, I'm losing weight. I take raspberry ketones. No, I don't think so. All right, the next question comes from Panos Antonakos, our superhuman representative in Greece. He says, hey, Rob, curious to know how things are going with you after you resumed training recently. I heard you say you took 2 weeks off. What's going on?
Yeah, this is a great question because I learned so many new things during those 2 weeks and rehashed some old things that really benefited me. So to refresh, I was slipping into overtraining, and all the signs were there. My body was feeling beat up. You know, tendonitis was coming back in my elbow. Lower back got tweaked. I had a strong disinclination to train. My sleep patterns had become disturbed, and it was time for a break. But during that time, I did 3 important things. Number one, I really got after my general physical preparedness and high-intensity interval training cardio. Why? Because I wanted to establish a better work capacity upon resuming training. Second, I added another prehab-rehab arrow to my quiver, foam rolling, which we should probably, you know, discuss more in depth when we have time.
Well, we have a little time today because we're probably going to be under, but go ahead.
Okay, good. And then third, I faithfully performed 10 to 15 minutes of focus and concentration exercises every day without fail. So as a result, my blood pressure, I got it down to 120 over 70. And here's the interesting part. That was after a hefty dose of ephedrine and caffeine plus EGCG. My waking morning heart rate dropped from 68 beats per minute to 56. And my balance and coordination was vastly improved upon returning to the gym. As a matter of fact, so, you know, picture this now. After 2 weeks, you know, I'm coming back not really knowing what to expect, especially from those concentration exercises. But the benefits were crystal clear. Raising my work capacity allowed me to cut my rest interval between sets in half. The addition of foam rolling was another breakthrough, and it allowed me to stay on top of my spinal health. And that's important, more important than many realize, given the electrical message to contract muscle travels through from your brain through each vertebrae. It's also the perfect activity to perform between sets. If you otherwise get antsy, waiting around, you know, for your central nervous system to recover. And if you're doing strength work, it takes longer than the typical 3 minutes, you know, if you're doing hypertrophy training. To me, that was a perfect time to insert the foam rolling. And finally, those focus exercises are absolute gold. I found that out the very first time I resumed one-legged bodyweight squats. Whereas prior, I would struggle to maintain balance as the set wore on, no such issues this time. The cultivation of what Brooks Kubik calls ferocious concentration, I love that term, can't be overstated. Like proficiency with the barbell, though, concentration is a learned skill. that's only acquired with practice. And the payoff from investing just 10 minutes a day in that, it's ridiculous. You know, you would be wise to pursue it. The bottom line is this. 2 weeks off, to most people, I think it sounds like a real downer, right? Used constructively, though, it led to major breakthroughs in my case. It allowed me to raise my work capacity, discover a new prehab and rehab movement, and taught me the value of training my mind as hard as my body. And you needn't guess that these things are helping you either, meaning you can't fudge objective diagnostics like blood pressure and resting heart rate. You know, it's black and white, and it's in your face. Finally, note that all of these items are free. They take minimal time, and they collectively up the bottom line, which is much better performance in the gym. So please do look into one or all of these the next time you, too, need to take some time off.
You know,
foam rolling.
That's what I was going to say. Talk about foam rolling a little bit. You know, I have a foam roller, and I don't really use it. Would it help me? I've noticed something. Since I haven't been squatting, my glute muscles, my ass has shrunk, first of all. And my glute muscles are not as dominant as they used to be. I just started squatting again, and, you know, I'm already feeling the soreness in my glutes because I go deep.
Right.
But I've noticed that as my glute muscles became weaker, I think my hip joints started to pull forward because my hips started to become more dominant. And
right.
I'm wondering if foam rolling would help me by rolling on my hip muscles, the hip extension muscles, to loosen them up more while I'm waiting for my glutes to get strong again.
It's helped me with everything. And I'll tell you, you know, here's an admission. I used to walk by these foam rollers and kind of scoff at them.
Right.
Because I didn't think they held much value. Frankly, you know, it was ignorance on my part as to what the benefits were. And, I had tried them before by lying down on them lengthwise. And, you know, you do feel a little more loosened up, but I really didn't appreciate the other, ways of using it and the benefits that they convey. So I looked further into it, and I spoke to a trainer at my gym, and I got on YouTube, and I got there were some great tutorials out there by a chiropractor. But long story short, laying on it, not lengthwise, but, you know, across, if you will, and starting at the base of my neck and then rolling down the spine all the way to the lower back and then back up again, I divide the spine into three areas, you know, my neck, the top of my spine, the mid-spine, and then sacroiliac region, lower spine. And I'll do, you know, between 10 and 15 sets of rolls for each. And the interesting thing that I noticed is this. You know, I'll work my neck, let's say, with a neck harness, and I don't feel it walking around, turning my head. I don't feel it at all. Except when I foam roll, I can feel the exact vertebrae that's just a touch bit tender. Because of that exercise, and you know, you can feel your vertebrae pop. And you can do this in between sets, and it really does go a long way towards, you know, getting you in good alignment, myofascial release, and taking care of, you know, the precious spine. You only get one, and without it, you're dead. You know, there's an old question that chiropractors like to ask. How long could you live without electricity?
Yeah, that's funny.
Hey, you'd be dead in a second. You know, cut the brain off or cut the spinal cord, you're done. The message doesn't get through. Foam rolling is a great, great prehab and rehab exercise. I don't touch a weight now before I foam roll, and I continue to do it in between sets. And then
So you do it before you work out?
I do. Before I even touch a weight, I foam roll my entire spine. I can feel, you know, I work the kinks out. You can feel them working out. And like I said, you know, it's an eye-opener when you have a vertebrae that is tender or a spot that is tender on your back, and I don't feel it. I don't feel it sitting up, walking around, bending over, but you get on the foam roller, you can feel it. And you can actually, work on it by rolling over it back and forth, and you can feel it loosen up, and you can feel the tenderness going away. I also think if you're going to a chiro, foam rolling is an excellent way to help keep the adjustment from going awry, if you will, and staying more in line in between visits. I just can't say enough about it, man. It was a big mistake for me to walk by that in the past, and if that helps somebody, more power to you. But again, it's just one of those simple things that can benefit you tremendously.
What about we're going to talk about this on the roundtable discussion, but we have a little time to burn here. What about ankle mobility? I know I forwarded you an email from somebody who said, or a message from Facebook. What's his name? But I'll pull up his name. But anyway, he realizes now that he can't squat as deep as he'd like to because his ankles are keeping him. It's from Yao Walden Han, who I think he's living in Japan right now. I'm not sure. He was in the United States for a while, and then I think he went back over to Japan. And he said that he's been really focusing on squats in the past few months, and it's revealed something to him that's wrong with his body. Most wrong is the flexibility of my ankles. Because of that, I cannot properly squat low enough, and I use my lower back to compensate. This results in not being able to properly squat good, healthy weight. What do you think? I suggested looking into ankle mobility work and also foot placement. What would you say?
Yeah, I think both of those are good suggestions. And I'm sorry, I don't recall getting the email, but I take it he's coming up on his toes when he's squatting.
Sounds to me like he's coming off of his heels. That's what it sounds like.
One of the things that helped me tremendously was that was happening to me when I moved to one-legged bodyweight squats. And the way I got around that was if you place yourself in the middle of a doorway and grab the door jamb or grab a pole or the side of a power rack, after stretching, the Achilles tendon, you can force yourself to go down maintaining a flat foot while holding on to either the door jamb or a pole. And in coming back up, you're going to be tempted, yes, to raise that heel off the ground. But because you're able to hold on to the pole, you're able to do it. You're able to hold it. And gradually, it's something that I think it boils down to the Achilles tendon and getting that thing flexible enough. And that happens, frankly, with a lot of stretching and a lot of practice.
What about not having your feet splayed far enough? What about having a lot of people, they squat with their feet pointing exactly forward at 12 o'clock. I find that the hip, knee, and ankle, transitions make it very difficult. The only joint that can't change its transition is the ankle because the floor won't let it. You can adjust your hips to accommodate your knees. You can adjust your knees to accommodate your hips, but you can't adjust your ankles. And a result, if you don't have your feet pointed at 10 and 2 o'clock or 11 at 1 o'clock, or depending on how wide your hips are and how wide you're standing, it could even be, 9:30 and 2:30. You know what I mean? What about that? Doesn't that play a role in getting the ankles to cooperate?
It does. If you're a close stance squatter and you're having difficulty keeping your heels on the floor, I would highly, highly recommend a wide stance box squat. If you can still find them, what are they, Chuck Connors?
Chuck Taylors, yeah.
Chuck Taylors. And the reason for that is this. When you're squatting wide, the feet are naturally going to be pointed out a little bit. Nothing exaggerated. But when you do come up, in addition to all the other benefits the box squat conveys, you want to try to push out on your, on the far end of your foot. And that almost guarantees that the heel is going to stay on the floor. You know, the wide stance squat is something that you're going to be much less tempted biomechanically to tip forward, as it were, and have the heel come off the ground. You know, I'm using a hybrid right now, box squat on a single-legged, to up my single-legged squat, and it goes like this. You know, I'll stack, let's say, 5 45-pound plates in the middle of the Smith machine, and I'll hang a mini band from the bar in the Smith machine. I'll place my non-working leg in that mini band, and I will put my working leg, the foot, right in front of that stack of weights. As I squat down, I will sit on those plates, and then, just like a regular box squat, rock forward and then explode back up. And as time goes on, what I do is to increase the intensity and the range of motion of the movement, you just slip out one plate. So I'll do 7 reps per leg with 5 plates. Next workout, I'll slip it out 4 plates for 5 reps, then 3 plates for 3 reps, and then repeat, but a lesser number of plates now, 4, 3, and 2. And by varying those rep ranges, 7, 5, 3, you're never allowing your body to accommodate the one variable that I feel the body accommodates to get the quickest in training at being right.
Hey Rob, I don't know if you just moved or what, but your wireless signal just went out the window. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, okay?
Sure.
And maybe you can reposition yourself. Sorry to cut you short, but the last couple minutes of what you were saying are just kind of fading in and out. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll figure out what's going on technically with Rob Regish. We'll be right back with more of the Blueprint Power Hour. Stay tuned.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Calling all men. The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today.
Have you ever been let down by so-called nitric oxide muscle pump products before? Well, prepare to be shocked. Vengeance is like nothing you've ever tried before. Vengeance leverages several different scientifically proven technologies to deliver what some users say are painfully explosive pumps. If you're satisfied with nitric oxide products that make you wonder if they're working, move on. But if you want a muscle pump that you'll not only feel, but others will see, train with a vengeance. Go to xfmuscle.com today and get vengeance.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com.
TrueNutrition.com today. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is the Blueprint Power Hour brought to you by the Blueprint Bulletin, and you can get a free copy of the Blueprint Bulletin by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad today. Okay. Blueprint tip of the day. We're going to talk about turmeric and curcumin because there's lots of confusion about it out there, and Rob feels the need to set the record straight. Do your thing, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah. Very good.
All right. We're going to set the record straight on turmeric and curcumin. Long-time listeners have heard me speak to the merits of both turmeric and curcumin many times. However, it's come to my attention there's a lot of confusion about which does what products are best, and how to dose it. So I'd like to take a closer look. The benefits of turmeric and curcumin are many. So we're discussing this stuff for a number of reasons. Among its other attributes, it accelerates muscle recovery, relieves pain, and inhibits conversion of amino acids into glucose. With respect to muscle recovery, according to an animal study done at Emory University in 1999, curcumin can speed up muscle recovery by, wait for it, at least a factor of 5. In fact, researchers concluded by saying, curcumin is the first example of a pharmacological agent with a potent effect on stimulating muscle regeneration after trauma. U.S. Army researchers also validated the muscle recovery effects of curcumin. The researchers in this study concluded from their experiments that curcumin may be useful to soldiers and athletes who place heavy demands on their bodies but don't have the needed time to recover. More recently, there was a French study that was done that confirmed the American findings. In terms of pain relief, this is perhaps its best-known attribute. Curcumin was found to relieve pain equivalent to ibuprofen. In one study of patients with osteoarthritis, just 200 milligrams resulted in, quote, the curcumin-treated group having a statistically significant reduction in all primary clinical endpoints, which is doctor speak for lowering a broad range of inflammatory markers, for one being, for example, interleukin 6 or IL-6. The last point inhibits conversion of amino acids into glucose. In this study, which was not funded by the supplement industry, nutritionists at Auburn University found that turmeric inhibits glucogenesis. And to refresh, glucogenesis is the process by which amino acids are converted into glucose in the liver. And that is not something you want happening when trying to build muscle. So instead of robbing your muscle tissue of amino acids, turmeric protects the muscles from breakdown. The problem being, you just heard me rattle off multiple benefits in studies on both turmeric and curcumin, which begs the question, right, which one of them is it? The short answer is curcumin. Here's the usual too long answer. Turmeric is a plant belonging to the ginger family. It's native to Southeast Asia. It's been used in India for thousands of years, and it's a major part of Ayurvedic medicine. It's important to point out, though, that turmeric's active ingredient is curcumin, which, if you've ever had the raw powder in front of you, it has a distinctive earth
slightly bitter mustard-like smell to it. The irony is you're going to find plenty of turmeric out there, but not curcumin. For example, at your local grocery store in the spice aisle. And at places like Walmart, you can even find 500 milligram caps of straight turmeric for around $3 and change. The problem is this. How do you know how much curcumin you're getting in your turmeric? You don't. So we're going to use the absolute best curcumin money can buy. There's a significant amount of research, both preclinical and clinical, that exists on curcumin, but the majority of the materials used in these studies isn't commercially available to consumers. And this is where Sabinsa's branded curcumin product is different. Their curcumin C3 complex is far and away the most studied out there. The name refers to its three main chemical compounds, curcumin, D-methoxycurcumin, and bis-D-methoxycurcumin, collectively known as curcuminoids. In fact, the C3 complex is or has been used at the following research institutes and universities: the UCLA School of Medicine, University Hospitals of Cleveland, Anderson Cancer Center in Maryland, Rutgers, Tufts University, Mass General, Brown University, and Penn State. Which brings us to dosing and product recommendations. Sabinsa's recommended dosage for their C3 complex is 1,500 milligrams a day. But the one bugger with curcumin is that it isn't very bioavailable. In order to solve for that, you want to take a few milligrams of bioperin, which is an extract of black pepper, or piperine, along with your curcumin. That combo has been shown to increase bioavailability of curcumin 20-fold, or in other terms, 2,000% above baseline values in humans. In terms of finished products using Sabinsa's material, the following brands have it. And here's where you need to be careful, because there's a lot of trickery going on out there trying to confuse consumers. These are the brands: Ageless Cures, America's Finest, Blue Bonnet Nutrition, Designs for Health, Doctor's Best, Future Biotics, Progressive Laboratories, and Pure Prescriptions. I've done the brain damage for everyone and the math, and the Ageless Cures Ultra Curcumin C3 is by far the best buy. At 1,500 milligrams a day, a bottle's going to last you a month, and it's going to run you roughly just 76 cents a day. The other options that I looked at were either too pricey, don't contain enough C3, don't contain bioperin, or both. If you're interested in the bulk material, you can head on over to beyondacentury.com, and you can get 50 grams for just $21.50. They also sell bioperin separately, a full gram of it, for $2.50. That's my preferred option, if only because I'm a cheapskate. But, you know, let's be honest, a lot of these bulk powders are just, they're tough to get down. Curcumin isn't the worst of them, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's pleasant. So if you're into the caps, look for the Ageless Cures Ultra Curcumin C3. So to wrap up, mystery solved. I hope that clears up some of the confusion surrounding turmeric, its active curcumin, and where to find the good stuff. I think given the research supporting its use and the real-world feedback, top shelf curcumin should certainly be on your radar, if not already, in your pillbox.
Okay.
Do you use curcumin?
No, I'm not using a lot of things right now. Because I wasn't training, I backed off of my supplements. It's, you know, except for vitamin A, vitamin D, and glucosamine. And
yeah.
I take the liposomal C, and I take the liposomal B complex from Alltrans. I got to tell you something. There are people who go to naturopathic doctors, and they pay between $180 and $220 for what's known as a Myers cocktail. And basically, a Myers cocktail is magnesium, calcium, B vitamins, and vitamin C that's intravenously infused. It's a 60-milliliter syringe. It takes about 20 minutes for the doctor to slowly push it into your bloodstream.
Right.
And people claim that when they take a Myers cocktail, they can feel it immediately that day and for a few days after. And some people who can afford it, they go a couple times a week to get these things. They're very expensive.
Yeah.
You can effectively do your own Myers cocktail by taking 3 packets of Altrient C and 2 packets of Altrient ME, which is their energy product, which is basically some trace minerals, a B complex, and something called benfotiamine, which is beautiful stuff to help balance blood sugar. You don't even get that in the traditional Myers cocktail. You take 3 C and 2 Bs a day, and you've basically given yourself a Myers cocktail for, you know, a couple bucks compared to $180.
And, pennies on the dollar.
Well, and I do it every day now. And I got to tell you something. You know, it's never one thing that makes you feel better. It's always many things, just like it's always many things that make you feel bad. And, I've been religious about, taking the Altrient liposomal products, including their glutathione. And I really do believe that it's contributing to my recovery. My muscle has come back pretty quickly. I know muscle memory is there, but, my muscle has come back very, very quickly. I'm reducing inflammation. I'm reducing oxidation, oxidative stress. I'm trying to do all the right things. But as far as the other exotic supplements, I'm not even taking my MassPro at this point in time. I probably won't take it for another 2 weeks. Then I'll start taking it, because once I start getting stronger, then I need that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. For the recovery.
Yeah.
Well, at one point you said you could smell the B vitamins, right, from the liposomal.
Dude, I've been taking 2 B100 caps from Kroger's every day for years. And other than just making my urine yellower, I can't tell anything. When I take this liposomal vitamin B, I smell the B coming out of my skin. What does that tell you?
Yeah, that's incredible.
Liposomal delivery is supposed to get into the cells. Well, guess what? It must be, because I can smell it coming out of my skin.
That's good to hear, man. Well, listen, when you're really hitting it full throttle, you know, look in the Sibensis Curcumin C3 complex. 5 times faster muscle recovery is nothing to sneeze at.
No, I agree. That sounds like really, really good stuff. Okay, real quick, we have a few minutes. What is new? Can you give us a sneak peek behind the curtain of what to expect in the Blueprint Bulletin for those who are already subscribers?
Well, you know, next month, I'm really excited. I've got some follow-on information about some new strains of Kratom, which is, may or may not be new to a lot of listeners. It's been used, let's say, recreationally, because it has an opioid-like effect, and also for pain relief. But, you know, one of the things that I've been focusing on lately is getting into, as quickly as possible, a state of relaxation after the workout.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult thing to do, but, you know, the bottom line is the Soviets, when studying this many years ago, found that the quicker you can get the central nervous system quieted down, you know, the faster that you're going to recover. So in addition to items like new strains of Kratom, I have an entire way of weaving that in to these concentration and focus exercises, and they're free. You know, the links will be, I'll provide the links, they're out there on YouTube. And in concert with one another, they just do a tremendous job of getting you into a very relaxed state. And you can go as far back as Vince Gironda, who was recommending similar things in his day.
Yeah, he said, Vince used to say you couldn't digest your food if you were still stressed out from the workout.
Right. Put your feet up, right?
Hey, so Kratom, isn't that where Superman came from? The Planet of Kraton? I like it. All right, listen. Thank you very much for all your effort today, Rob Regish. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad today to learn more about how you can get the Blueprint Bulletin delivered right to your inbox. Take care, Rob.
Thanks, brother.
All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Isn't this wonderful one? I can't remember. Jeff Niederdeep on to talk about how TV advertising of statin drugs has influenced unnecessary prescriptions of statin drugs. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Have you ever been let down by so-called nitric oxide muscle pump products before? Well, prepare to be shocked. Vengeance is like nothing you've ever tried before. Vengeance leverages several different scientifically proven technologies to deliver what some users say are painfully explosive pumps. If you are satisfied with nitric oxide products that make you wonder if they're working, move on. But if you want a muscle pump that you'll not only feel, but others will see, train with a vengeance. Go to xfmuscle.com today and get vengeance.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RG Cell banner ad today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Everyone wants growth hormone because growth hormone works. Now AgeForce is offering a buy one, get one free on their most popular transdermal patch. The Power Patch contains 25 milligrams of real somatropin per patch. It delivers real, competent human growth hormone right to your bloodstream without the discomfort of injections. There's never been a better time to see what the Power Patch can do for you. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today. This offer ends soon. Get your growth hormone the AgeForce way. Power Patch.
Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Whey Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5 pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Whey Natural USA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only three ingredients: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Whey Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back.
Come again?
Okay. You know, you can't really watch television for any amount of time without seeing at least a half a dozen commercials for pharmaceutical drugs. My next guest is Dr. Jeff Niederdeep. He is with Cornell University and recently published a paper discussing the effects that TV advertising have on statin drug prescriptions. How you doing, Dr. Niederdeep?
I'm well, Carl. Thanks. It's great to be here.
Okay, why did you even look into this, just out of curiosity?
Well, I've been interested in studying the role of the media in shaping how people think about health issues for some time. A lot of that work has focused on anti-tobacco obesity prevention campaigns. And, you know, I made a similar observation to the one that you did, that one of the most common sources of health information we see on television is, in fact, direct-to-consumer pharmaceutical ads. And it really got me interested in understanding what effect these kind of messages might have.
And, you know, these commercials are akin to if, let's say, the companies that manufactured brake calipers for automobiles decided, you know, we want to influence consumer demand of our calipers, so we're going to start advertising to the consumers in hopes that they walk into the dealership at Nissan and Chevy and demand these calipers. So they say, hey, if your car isn't stopping with Brembo Gold Seal calipers from Italy, you're putting your family at great risk. You could, your child could fly through the window, blah, blah, blah. Demand Brembo, you know, calipers today without understanding if their car can be fitted with that caliper, if that caliper is suited for their type of driving, which those kind of decisions have to be made by the manufacturer and the architects of that, vehicle. And as absurd as that sounds, that is what pharmaceutical drugs are doing today. They are telling people to tell their doctors, hey, I think I need this. Isn't that the wrong way to handle prescribing medications?
Well, it's an interesting analogy. Medicines are the second most most advertised set of products, second only to automobiles. So I think they differ fundamentally from many products in the ways that you described, and that you have to go through a doctor in order to act on that information. So, you know, the United States is almost alone in allowing direct-to-consumer ads. New Zealand is the only other country in the world that allows it. So, you know, many other countries have made the same decision that you have about whether this is appropriate or not.
And you know, the other thing that's really scary to me, Dr. Nita Deppe, is you can't, if you have any modicum of critical thinking skills, you have to recognize that anytime a one-minute commercial takes 10 seconds to tell you the benefits and the balance of the commercial to tell you the dangers, you should run for the hills. I mean, I know that they have to, they're required to list the potential side effects. But I mean, it just, there's something, I don't know, there's something so, I don't know what word to even use. There's just something so absurd about it. It would be like, you know, a product for a food product going, you know, Wonder Bread builds bodies 12 ways. By the way, it can cause intestinal and gut leakage. It can cause this because it's like, wait a minute, why would I want to buy it? Yet people go, oh, you know, I got to go to my doctor and ask about that. And to me, there's something really wrong with that.
Yeah, the FDA relaxed its standards on reporting potential risks in addition to benefits in 1997, which allowed television advertisers essentially to proliferate these kinds of messages. So they are required still to have a balance between risks and benefits, but they don't specify in a lot of detail how that balance has to be achieved.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't have to be a balance of images, for instance. And what you find in many of these ads is the images are all supportive
right.
of taking the pharmaceutical, but the risks are in the voiceover. So if you're on mute, you're not going to hear them. Sometimes they're displayed on text in small font on the bottom of the screen.
For a nanosecond.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But you know, you're so right that the person in the picture is smiling, they're enjoying life, and in the meantime, the verbiage is, you know, this can cause coma, this can cause death, if you have muscle weakness, call your doctor, but the people in the picture, they're enjoying life. You're right. It's really, they're non sequiturs, aren't they?
And when they're not enjoying life, it's usually because the message is suggesting that some lifestyle change is not effective. So we've studied statin drugs, which have a standard of care which says lifestyle change should always precede taking a pharmaceutical. That
Interesting.
Is lower fat diet, exercise, reduce weight. And when the ads show people engaging in exercise, it's almost always with the goal of saying, this might not work, and if it's not working, come see your doctor and request a prescription.
You know what's really funny? I've been doing this show for almost 9 years now, and we've talked about cholesterol from so many different angles. and the benefits of cholesterol and the possibility that the whole cholesterol thing is a myth and Dr. Key's early research and the Hawaii study and every angle we've looked at cholesterol. The funny thing that I find is that doctors continue to tell their patients, well, before we prescribe a drug, let's put you on a low-fat diet and see if we can correct your cholesterol that way. When in fact, the thing that influences cholesterol levels to the greatest degree is reducing carbohydrate consumption. And telling a person to go home and eat a low-fat diet, expecting their cholesterol to get better, is like you coming into my practice and saying, Carl, I've got really bad back pain. And I say, here's what you need to do. You need to start lifting things without using your legs. Just bend over, grab heavy things, and lift them up. And you'll be coming in my office. You'll be going, my back hurts worse. Well, we tried that. Now we have to go to surgery. They need to tell people to cut their carbohydrate consumption. Nothing has a more profound effect on cholesterol levels than carbohydrate. Fat does not. But no one in the medical orthodoxy has gotten this message yet.
Yeah, we also know that dietary change is some of the hardest interventions to sustain over time. So in particular, weight loss interventions have very low rates of effectiveness.
Right.
And so it, generally, a starting from a preventive, you know, let's not gain the weight in the first place, has tended to be more effective over time. So in a way, I think we're competing against, you know, a very challenging environment, which promotes through marketing and other means, unhealthy products, far more than they do the healthy alternatives.
And I want to talk about your study now, but I want to also commend you about one specific sentence in this article. And the sentence says, statins have been proven to reduce LDL cholesterol, but do they also have a role to play in primary prevention of coronary heart disease? The jury is still out. And I commend you for putting that in there, because there is... the cat is out of the bag about the effects of statin drugs reducing the risk of heart attack. And even the pharmaceutical companies know this, because they're already repurposing these drugs as anti-inflammatories, as pain relievers, you know, as a variety of different things that they're looking to be ready to jump into once the consensus is, you know what, we're giving people statins, they're still having heart attacks.
Yeah, there was a very recent comment, sort of debate back and forth in a recent issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association, and they took this scenario where they said a patient comes in with high, low density lipids but are otherwise healthy, do you prescribe a statin? And the pro argument said yes, there's a reduction of heart attacks, there's a reduction of cholesterol, and the con argument said yes, there's a reduction of heart attacks, but it's 1 or 2 in 100, and the increase in risk for muscle fatigue and memory loss is higher than that. The risk of diabetes would be about 1 in 100, so the risks outweigh the benefits in that particular case. I think there is pretty clear evidence that statins can be effective for those who have had a major coronary event, heart attack, have heart disease, but for the general population who don't have not had these conditions, I think the evidence is very much unclear, if not suggesting that the harms outweigh the benefits.
Bravo. Okay, so let's talk about this. So what did you learn? How do statin drug commercials influence people going into their doctors and asking about statin drugs? And if so, does that cause the doctor to write a prescription that he or she would not have written had the patient not come in and said, do you think I need a statin drug?
Well, I would say this. So our study and any study of direct-to-consumer advertisements face some pretty substantial challenges, and that's that the pharmaceutical industry is not telling the researcher where they're going to put the ads,
right,
or how they're going to do their marketing plan. In fact, they're quite secretive about that because they're in competition with other companies. And so, in a sense, the researcher is chasing a moving target. So what we were able to do is use commercial marketing survey data, this huge national survey. We did analyze data of over 7 years of this survey from the Simmons National Consumer Survey. So we had 100,000 people, and what we were able to do is estimate their levels of exposure to direct-to-consumer ads based on two things: where the ads appeared, and we got information about that from Kantar Media, which tracks where ads go, how often they appear. And we also used information about what programs people watch. This survey is wonderful in that it measures over 1,000 different programs. How often do you watch the show? Have you seen the most recent four episodes? How many of them? So that enables us to have a pretty good estimate of how often people were potentially exposed to these ads. We weren't able to measure their causal influence, and that in order to do that, we'd need to follow people over time. Optimally, we'd need to assign some people to high exposure, some people to low exposure. We weren't able to do that. But we were able to see how they associate. So are people getting very high doses of direct-to-consumer ads more likely to have been told that they have high cholesterol and more likely to be on statins? And unequivocally, we found that the answer to that question is yes. The more often you were exposed, the more likely you were to report having cholesterol and to taking a statin. But the interesting fact to me was when we looked at who these people were, we looked at those at very high risk, those who have had a heart attack, and we looked at those at very low risk, those who are, you know, under age 45, don't have any history of cigarette smoking or high blood pressure. And the only group for which we saw this effect was those at low risk to begin with, which is the group for which it's the most questionable target.
And so this is a group that probably their doctor was not thinking about prescribing a statin drug for them in most cases.
Well, the one thing we don't know is what their actual cholesterol level was. But we do know that, of those who came in and were told that they were had high cholesterol, more often than not, they received a statin. So that's consistent with the other research. If somebody comes in and requests a drug, they're quite likely to get it. And the positive tests often lead to treatment.
Was there any indication of age of the individual being more likely to walk in and be influenced to ask about a statin drug as a result of seeing a TV commercial?
You know, we didn't look at it with that finely grained. We didn't compare by specific age. We did look at men and women separately.
Okay, good. Gender was my next question.
Yeah, men experience increased risk at a lower age than women. So at age 45, the risk of cardiovascular disease, coronary heart disease goes up. For women, it doesn't really go up until 55. And so we looked at men below and over 45 and women below and over 55. And that was one of the factors that went into our risk assessment. So a lot of the men and women in this low-risk group were, in fact, younger than 45 in the case of men and 55 in the case of women.
Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk more about this concept of overdiagnosis. We're talking with Dr. Jeff Niederdeppe. He's with Cornell University, and we're talking about his article that looks at TV advertising and how it influences the prescription of statin drugs here in the United States. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
This time of year, it seems everyone's sick. You need to do everything you can to avoid it. A healthy immune system starts with a healthy lifestyle. This includes Altrian C. Altrian C delivers the vitamin C your body needs. In fact, Altrian delivers 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. Go to AltrianC.com. That's AltrianC.com. It even comes with a money-back guarantee. For vitamin C that actually gets absorbed, go to AltriantC.com or call 888-437-6353 to order. That's 888-437-6353. Altriant C. 21st century vitamin C.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh-looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RGCell banner ad today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Jeff Niederdeppe from Cornell University about their recent paper looking at the effects of TV advertising on the overprescription or overprescribing of statin drugs to a specific segment of people, those who are not considered high risk. Is it possible, Dr. Niederdeppe, that, you know, that there's a phenomenon occurring today where patients don't necessarily listen to their doctors? Compliance on taking pharmaceutical drugs is at an all-time low. Part of this may be financially, part of this may be a lack of trust for the medical orthodoxy that seems to be emerging right now, and part of it could be the disdain for the pharmaceutical industry. But regardless of what that is it possible that the advertising is not necessarily causing people to be candidates for these drugs, but influencing their decision to go ahead and take their doctor's advice?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So the idea of a company communicating directly with the consumer as opposed to the doctor in a way undermines the doctor's authority, potentially. So you have the consumer coming in saying, what about this? What about this? I think there's also a shift toward open access in journals and other aspects that put more information in the consumer's hands and the individual's hands. And on the one hand, one could argue this is a good thing. It allows doctors and their patients to have better conversations. On the other hand, if what that leads to is the doctor essentially acquiescing to their patient's demands, it has the potential to undermine the doctor, but it also has the potential to lead to overprescription, an ultimate sense of the doctor being afraid to turn a patient down for fear of
and we know and we know and we know that doctors feel that way. We just need to look at antibiotics. I mean, you know, a patient goes to a doctor with something that the doctor should just simply say, look, go home, you'll get better, and instead he feels compelled to write a prescription for an antibiotic so he can give them something to go away with to justify their copay and so on. And now look at us with, you know, antibiotic resistant strains of different viruses and stuff like that, and bacteria. Sure. I mean it's just, so we know that doctors feel compelled to give their patients something. So you're absolutely right, this is that could be the whole reason for the season, so to speak.
I think there's also a fear of lawsuits. You know, we've transformed our medical system to pay for performance of services. We don't pay for improvement of health. We pay for, you know, writing scripts. We pay for performing tests. We pay for checking boxes of whether you ask the patient about this, that, or the other thing. And I certainly question whether that's an appropriate model that doesn't lead to you know, over-diagnosis, over-prescription, et cetera.
You know, that's a good point, too. So you walk into your doctor's office, you say, look, I saw this ad about statin drugs. I'm worried about my cholesterol. What do you think? And your doctor goes, look, your cholesterol is really not that bad. Let's try diet and exercise, and you stroke the next day or you have a heart attack the next day, and then you want to sue the doctor for not giving you the statin drug. So, yeah, I get, you know, it's really quite complex and it's really a mess when you think about it, this whole situation. And I am not for consumer direct marketing of pharmaceutical drugs. I think that there's something really sinister about it, especially with the way these ads play on people's fear. You know, they have a guy who goes, I thought I was healthy. I felt great. And then I had my heart attack. But you can avoid it by getting, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know any other industry that sells fear as the modality to get people to use their product other than the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah, and the analysis of the statin ads that we did, this is a separate paper that we published a few months ago. We looked at the types of messages that pharmaceutical ads were using as the primary theme, essentially. And about 40% of them focused on the audience's susceptibility to some adverse health outcome, whether it's a heart attack or losing, you know, a family member or not being there for your grandchild. So absolutely, I think this is a very common strategy employed, certainly in statins, and I think also in other classes of pharmaceuticals.
I mean, could you imagine if other industries played on people's fear this way? I don't know. It's just, I just think there's something sinister about it. We have lots of clinicians and physicians that listen to this show. Is there a message that you would like to get to them as a result of the results of your research?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So, I mean, I think doctors know better than I do that patients are coming in armed with some information from these advertisements. There's certainly a motivation to find out more about drugs and sometimes request particular prescriptions. You know, I think what I would say is that there's been this shift in the medical community. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, I think, has been leading this toward less testing and less over-testing, in a sense. And so, you know, cholesterol screening is not even recommended as a standard for men under 35 or for women at all unless they have increased risk of coronary heart disease. So they're inclined toward a conservative point of view, not politically, but in terms of whether or not to perform unnecessary
standard,
procedures.
The current standard of care, in other words.
That's right. That's right. And so I think really thinking about these risks alongside these benefits, in a sense, prescribing the drug is a low-risk activity for a doctor because it's reimbursed and because the patient's demanding it, and that you know, is going to potentially continue that that relationship. So I think they're put in a really challenging place.
Do you think that the message should be pointed more towards the pharmaceutical industry then? Would you like to see the pharmaceutical industry do things differently?
I would. I'm not sure what the mechanism to do that is. Certainly, the Institute of Medicine in 2007 had recommended, for instance, that for new pharmaceutical drugs, there ought to be a 2-year moratorium on advertising for those new drugs, in part so that doctors could start prescribing and they would be more in control, in part because that's typically when some of the high-risk side effects might be detected if they weren't detected in the clinical trials.
Right.
But the Office of Management and Budget essentially said, no, we don't think that's a good idea in 2011. So that was just a recommendation that was turned down.
Did the Office of Management and Budget say why they thought it wasn't a good idea?
I don't know the answer to that question. My guess is that here you've got a powerful industry. This is a major part of the GDP, and risking innovation and potential innovation might have been a part of that.
You know, and what bothers me about this is the parasitic nature of things today, and how people are preyed upon. And you know, we are no longer people; we're consumers, and consumption is critical in order to keep the wheels in motion, regardless of whether or not these standards that influence our consumption are detrimental to our health in the long run. And that really makes me sad. When a country, I remember someone once said, I think it was Winston Churchill, who said, "You can judge a country by the way they treat their animals." I think that's changed. I think you can judge a country by the way if they treat their people like animals. And you know, we have evolved to that here in the United States as it relates to both the food and drug industries. They play upon each other. One causes disease and the other one preys upon people once they have those diseases. And it's sad, because if you're not in the know and you don't realize what's going on, then it's like having a bunch of ticks living on you that just drain your blood every single day. And it's sad to me. It really, really is.
I think we take the short view as well in how we screen for new drugs. You know, they don't need to provide clear, established, cost-effective improvement over a previous drug. They just need to show that they work as well as a standard of care. And, you know, our clinical trials last for a year, 2 years sometimes. We don't think about the long, long-term impact of these, and we weigh that short-term evidence very heavily in some of these policy decisions.
Well, and case in point, you talk about endpoints of some of this research, right? So, for instance, a statin drug need not show that it prevents heart attack. It need only show that it lowers cholesterol. And this is an absurdity to me, because the idea that the Food and Drug Administration approves drugs based on this type of endpoint analysis and then allows these companies to prescribe these drugs or deliver these drugs through doctors' prescriptions, knowing that it's questionable whether or not that endpoint equals the desired effect. And I have no words, and that's rarity, my audience will tell you. I have no words right now. I'm dumbfounded, because every single day, people's health are compromised. Is that a pure single? And unnecessarily. And a lot of times, the drugs that they are being prescribed, the risks, as you point out in this particular group here that's influenced, outweigh the rewards. But yet they're prescribed those drugs and told to stay on those drugs. And we don't know if those drugs actually shorten their lives. And if those drugs are shortening their lives, even by a month or a year, the medical industry has failed miserably. Hippocrates should come back with an AK-47 and blast everybody, because we were supposed to do no harm first and foremost. And we are so far deviated from that today. It's just unbelievable. I've had doctors on the show where I've asked them, how do you resolve your conscience that the drug you're prescribing carries risks that are worse than the disease that it's treating, when the first edict of the Hippocratic Oath is first do no harm? And I've gotten all sorts of answers. Obviously, you have to be able to answer this in your heart and soul in order to go in the next morning and prescribe these drugs. But to me, it's just baffling to me, and how far we've gotten off the path here of real health care.
Yeah, I think we also have to think about not just the amount of life or the life saved, but the quality of life. You know,
yes.
Many of these side effects deal with burdens that people will face that lower their quality of everyday life, even if they're living the same amount of time. So if you're constantly tired, or memory loss starts to accumulate, or you know, you're feeling muscle fatigue or weakness, these are things that influence a person every day and aren't captured in the mortality the death estimates from these drugs. So,
and you know what is what the pink elephant in the room really is too, when it comes to statin drugs. Forget about whether or not statin drugs equal a reduction in cardiovascular risk, but it's so clear that taking a statin drug reduces coenzyme Q10 in heart muscle, which eventually leads to heart failure. And all the drug manufacturers have to do is start adding CoQ10 to these statin drugs, or put out a memo that says to doctors, when you prescribe a statin, make sure that these people get on a CoQ10 as well. But in order to do that, they have to admit that this is a side effect of a statin drug, which would open them up to liability. So it's easier just to keep your mouth shut and let a certain number of people develop heart failure from the statin drugs that they take. I just want to bang my head against the wall right now when I think that doctors are not telling their patients, when you get on a statin drug, you must take a CoQ10 supplement to avoid heart failure someday.
One of the things that we've been focusing on in our more recent work is a related question of whether exposure to these kind of ads might undermine lifestyle behavior type changes, which might not only benefit heart disease, but other outcomes that are associated with
like cancer,
obesity, cancer, for
yeah.
instance, right?
Yeah.
So we don't have an answer yet, but certainly these ads, they demonstrate a mixed message about this. Many of them will say in passing that, in conjunction with a healthy diet, you should be taking this statin. But in other aspects of the message, they'll undermine that claim by saying things like, when diet and exercise aren't enough, or sometimes your regimen of low-fat and high exercise are not going to be good enough. And, we've become really concerned about what impact that might have,
yes.
not only on heart disease, but other outcomes.
I have to ask you this because I have to believe that you're not popular in this type of research. Where do you get your funding from? I can't imagine that the pharmaceutical industry is helping you.
Well, this project was made possible, in fact, by a non-restricted grant by the Merck Foundation, which is the foundation arm of Merck, which has no connection to their broader efforts. It's unrestricted. It paid for us to gather the data. We haven't heard from them, I would say, so not sure how they feel about it, but it's certainly not a grant that we are required to have any contact with them about.
So, I think that's fantastic. I'm chuckling because I've got to believe that somebody in some boardroom is going, we paid for what? Are you guys kidding me? It's like, this is great. I think it's touche is the appropriate word. I commend you. I commend you for the work that you're doing. You're not going to be popular with the those at the Big Pharma, but you're going to become very popular with the people out there who this type of research will influence someday. And hopefully lives will be saved and increased quality of life will occur thanks to this kind of research. I think you're a brave guy. I appreciate what you're doing.
Well, I'm just looking for answers, and I hope that this moves us closer to understanding what effects these type of ads might have and what we might do better next time.
Listen to our show, too. You'll find answers here, I got to tell you. You'll like some of the topics we cover here. Anyway, listen, thanks so much for being on the show.
Carl, thank you. I very much appreciate it.
Okay. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we will wrap it up. I've got a couple things to talk about.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RGCell banner ad today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach,
lead.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Everyone wants growth hormone because growth hormone works. Now, AgeForce is offering a buy one, get one free on their most popular transdermal patch. The Power Patch contains 25 milligrams of real somatropin per patch. It delivers real, competent human growth hormone right to your bloodstream without the discomfort of injections. There's never been a better time to see what the Power Patch can do for you. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today. This offer ends soon. Get your growth hormone the AgeForce way. Power Patch.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
This time of year, it seems everyone's sick. You need to do everything you can to avoid it. A healthy immune system starts with a healthy lifestyle. This includes Altrient C. Altrient C delivers the vitamin C your body needs. In fact, Altrient delivers 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. Go to AltrientC.com. That's AltrientC.com. It even comes with a money-back guarantee. For vitamin C that actually gets absorbed, go to AltrientC.com or call 888-437-6353 to order. That's 888-437-6353. Altrient C, 21st Century Vitamin C.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Just a reminder, we're going to be joined by Uber blogger Brad Schoenfeld tomorrow to see what's on his mind. And then Thursday, we have a great show planned for you. The effects of strongman training on testosterone levels. A 12-month case study on natural bodybuilding. This is a continuation of the discussion we had on the roundtable discussion about how far can you get without using drugs. And then, of course, during the second hour, the Subversity Science Roundup, where we're going to talk about something that's in the media, and that is that stevia may cause infertility and even affect autoimmune disorders. Is it true? Adele Musa will dispel this myth. So you're going to want to tune in to Thursday's show. And then, of course, Friday, we have Casual Friday with the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, share good health. Let people know about the show. Let's save some lives. All right, see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Is the Superhuman Channel.